Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
I want to ask you a bunch of questions. I want to have them answered immediately.
The segment most likely to get someone suspended, fired, or at least spending the night on the couch.
Cannot win with them. Cannot coach with them. Can't do it.
This is basically a giant list of things you can't do.
Yeah, it sounds thrilling.
I will tell you a deeply personal story.
What's your question?
I have a tendency to overshare.
Quid pro quo. I tell you things, you tell me things.
What is your worst memory of childhood?
Death of my father.
Tell me about it and don't lie right now.
I can't have it. You know, I can't do it, Henry. You know, can't do it.
Can't do it. Can't do it.
You can't do it, and I have to do it, and I don't want to have to do that, Sonny.
You just can't do it.
The deal. Can't do it.
I can't do it. That's what you said, huh? I can't do it.
Score brought to you by Phoenix Industrial Cleaning. We will have Kendall Gill tell some score stories at 4 o'clock. We're doing a modified version of Can't Do It. Call it and ask us anything. Call it Can't Do It, whatever it is. It's not that you're going to stump us and get us to not answer a question. It's that we want to be as open and transparent as we can during these uncertain times. But Mac, it was your idea to bring it back. What prompted it?
What prompted me was stumbling upon ChicagoFanatics.com over the weekend. I hadn't visited in quite some time. For a number of years, I'd contributed to it. And I saw you open a thread early in the month. I don't remember the specific date, but the thread had grown to 13 pages of questions and answers. You started the thread and opened it up for thoughts, and there were a lot of thoughts you had that I thought might be good things to talk about on the air and just sort of give people a chance to ask us questions like many guys ask you. There were a lot of them that are not of interest, and that's the reason the segment ultimately, I think one of the reasons, the segment met its death a while ago. But man, I loved hearing that hot sax solo at the beginning. I missed that. That's really some good blowing right there, man. I enjoyed it. How do you want to get us started? You want to take one, or do you want me to take one, dude?
Well, tell me what interested you from the thread, because why I started the thread was I was curious about how some people outside of Twitter, which is where, you know, Twitter and the text line is where I get the majority of my feedback. I've been a lurker at the board on and off since I was an intern on Mac, Yurko, and Harry. And there were some things that had been said about the show during coronavirus that some I thought were fair, some I thought weren't. But I did think that for people who were sticking with us when everyone's days and lives have been changed to some degree, that it merited explanation. Not that everybody would agree or disagree with how we were handling things, but that's why I started the thread, was, hey, let me address what I'm hearing about what you guys are saying about the show right now, and we can get into it. So whatever stood out to you from what I said there is fine, or if you've got a question in particular that you want to start with, that's fine as well.
Okay, let me start you with Mailman Jack, who has a question for both of us, and I don't remember where I pulled Jack's question from, if it was on Twitter or on Chicago Fanatics, but he asks us this. If you had the power to bring back one of your recently departed coworkers, who would it be? And my answer is an easy one, and the answer is Connor McKnight. And it has nothing to do with how Dan has performed or the intensity and energy he's put into his show since Connor's job was eliminated. I always have liked the banter that happens on a two-man show, and frankly, there have been only four shows along the way since I started driving to the city 30-plus miles or so back in 1985, so shows that make me really want to do radio when I finally get to work after that 45-minute to one-hour commute. And those shows were Brandmeier in the mid-'80s and Dahlenmeyer in the late-'80s, Jiggets and North in the 90s. And I would say that Bernstein and McKnight had arrived at that. I miss the animal stories. I miss the banter. I feel bad for Bernstein, man. He's been kicked in the nuts a couple of times these last few years, and he keeps his head down and keeps going about his business. And that's a real testimony about his commitment to his craft and his commitment to his family, because he's been kicked a little bit here, and he's handled it like a champ. But I really miss Connor, and I wish nothing but great things for Connor. And I'll say this, if the White Sox are smart, he is Ed Farmer's successor. I'm rooting for Connor McKnight to become the next radio voice of the White Sox in a huge way. I think it would be a huge home run for the Sox, and they'd have a competent, likable voice on their radio side for the next 25 years.
Yeah, that's a great call, and I've thought that too. And it's obviously just a tough time to, you know, there's what, approaching 20 million people unemployed in this country right now. And so what I said at the time, I still feel today, like no one that lost anything lost that because of merit, right? These are, at times it's merit, at times it's because of subjective boss changes, and in this time it's because of a pandemic that is just turning the industry, like many industries, upside down. So I felt terrible and feel terrible for all of them. I am closest to Connor and Rick Camp, and Campy maybe even more so. Just like, he was the first board op I had when I came to the Score. And I just know that, like, he's had some tough times he's been open about on the air, financially and with his family and his brother's health and all of that. So, like, I know that, like, he needed it. And it'd be hard for me to split, honestly, between the two of them, because I agree. Like, Connor is a buddy of mine. He's been over for beers before, and we had a great time in Arizona. He's very talented, and he will land on his feet with 100% certainty. Like, I'm not worried about him in that way at all. He is a good-looking dude. He's smart. Like, he could do TV. He could do talk. He could do baseball reporting. He could do baseball play-by-play. I agree. That Sox gig would be perfect for him. So, to be honest with you, it's tough to me to split between the two, but I guess I'm a little bit less worried about Connor in that way. I think Rick Camp's basketball podcast that he launched, Basketball Camp, is great. There's no one smarter at the station talking professional hoops, but it's hard to monetize a podcast. Everybody has a podcast. So I'm a little more concerned for Campy, given the uncertainty of the economic climate around the industry, than I am for Connor, because Connor's just been in it longer. So on that sentimental reason, I might choose Campy over Connor, but I hope you understand why I would be doing it.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're feelings. They're not right or wrong. It's how we feel about things. I get it, and you don't have to explain it to me or anybody else. Let's keep going here on this tweaked edition, so to speak, of Can't Do It. So we'll split it up, station stuff, sports stuff, not a ton of sports stuff, but I did get this one from Carrie on Twitter. Why do you consistently hate on the Sox? Is it because the Cubs window is closing and you're nervous about having to talk about a team that you've hated forever, the Sox? I'm a White Sox fan who likes to poke fun at the Sox when they deserve it and poke fun at the quirks of our fan base. Frankly, I'm interested in the team that is most interesting to our audience. We're not in the business to try and create interest. We're in the business of reflecting interest. And yes, the Cubs have been in the midst of their golden era in franchise history, and we have gone heavy on them compared to the White Sox for the first two baseball seasons Danny and I have been together because they've been the bigger story. Now that's changing, and I'm delighted it's changing. What a wonderful thing it is to have two baseball teams competing for a postseason opportunity in the same year. It resulted, it was a reality only once in our lives in 08 when they both got in. But I will talk more enthusiastically and watch more of the team about which I'm going to talk more the following day. And the past few years, that's been radically in favor of the Cubs.
Yeah, this one's pretty easy. Now, yes, I am a Cubs fan, but there is no mandate to talk about the Cubs because we are the Cubs station. We've been, right, you've had every team in town on your radio partnership before. There wasn't like, it wasn't like, oh, you're on the home of the Blackhawks, so you've got to talk Blackhawks 2 hours a day. Like, that's just not how it works. I've been right at radio stations where there's mandates to, like, be careful with your station's business partners. I almost got fired because of stuff that happened between me and the Royals when I was the home of the Royals. Like, the only thing that's ever been said here is don't make it personal. Like, if you're talking about job performance or media performance or performance between the lines, it's totally fine. Just don't get into personal attacks. Don't go after someone's family. Don't
please make this personal.
Exactly. And so, like, that's the only thing that's ever been said about business partners and content on the station. What I will say, and I get why this would upset some Sox fans, is this is probably true. If the Cubs had a 75-win season and the White Sox had a 75-win season, we would talk more about the Cubs' 75-win season than the White Sox' 75-win season because the fan base is bigger. And so there are going to be more people that are upset, right? Like, in terms of just order, right? Bears are at the top. Every sports fan in Chicago, for the most part, cares about the Bears. Cubs are second. And then Bulls, White Sox, and then the Blackhawks kind of come in, and it depends more on what season it is, relevance, yeah, expectation, and all of that stuff. And so, like, if the White Sox have expectations for a 100-win season and they win 75 games, we would obviously talk about how disappointing that is in all-time disappointment seasons. But given the relative size of the fan base to the Cubs fan base, you would just be talking to fewer people. And our goal is to have as many people listen as possible. So
yeah, that's,
I think,
the goal.
That's where some of the insecurities comes from. Like, if people are out there with their stopwatch for our talk shows, like, ooh, you talked about the Cubs for this number of minutes and the White Sox for this number of minutes.
We used to have a guy in the Belmont Avenue days who would take his pica ruler out and measure both the Trib and the Sun Times in terms of inches devoted to each team every day of the baseball season.
Right.
And Kerry wonders why I tease White Sox fans.
Yeah, so that's part of it. I'll address a question also. Well, someone... There's a few that I could address. Someone asked if we've ever been seriously considered Spiegel as a permanent part of the afternoon show, and of course, like, we both love Spiegel. We both have worked with Spiegel, and I would say that Spiegel would make any radio show in this city better. Sports radio show, and I guess music radio show. So yeah, any music, any show, he'd make it better. He's a great teammate. He's a hard worker. He's creative. He's current. He is an expert on some things that matter in radio, baseball and music, high among them, but also obviously he does basketball and football and any sport that he needs to. I thought he was an excellent hire by Marquee. But the reality is that these times, there's not, look around. You're seeing more one-man shows than three-man shows, not just in this city, in any city. So it's not feasible economically, but have we thought about it seriously? Sure. If there was a blank check attached to it, it'd be amazing. But anybody who has Matt Spiegel on their team in a full-time basis or a part-time basis is better for it. And his shows on the weekend have been awesome. His shows on Marquee have been awesome. When he's on this station in any capacity, he's awesome. And I have a prediction that you will see and hear much more of Matt Spiegel in the days, weeks, months, years to come, because there are a lot of smart programmers at the station and in the city, and they know that he makes whatever he is attached to better. But have we considered it seriously? Of course, but there are just some things that Mac and I don't control.
Yeah, I'm glad you picked that one, because that's one of the more common questions we've been getting, and we got it a lot when we were in Arizona at Scorehouse, because the three-man weave kicked ass. And I resisted the first time a programmer said to me, you're going to do a three-man show. I thought it was way too crowded. It turned out to be one of the most rewarding and successful shows I ever was a part of. Maybe the top of the heap, but certainly was money-wise. The money flowed in, but geez. I would have been hopeful when we started the thing. It was my hope when you and I got together initially that it was a three-man weave, and I was hopeful that going into this summer it might have been a possibility. Pre-pandemic, those were conversations I was having with Mitch Rosen, our program director, and I was hoping the work we did in Arizona would have sealed the deal. And I don't know if it would have without the pandemic or not. I knew it was a long shot because of what you just said. There were budget constraints. And, it's a unique deal. We got three shows with the three of us. We have three shows that have equity in the market, and it makes a lot of sense, especially if I'm going to, here on the back nine, cut back a little bit during the baseball season, which was, frankly, selfishly part of the reason I wanted to do it, because this radio station crackles when he talks baseball on it. So I doubt that that's going to be something that we can get to anytime real soon. Let me hit up Tall Midget, because this is something that came up the other day when we had Dan Patrick on the show as well. He said, what happened with Dan Patrick and your ex-wife? And that joke, yeah, that story has reached its expiration date. I won't choose to bring it up again. It was a joke, basically. It was a radio tease. I said I loaned my ex-wife to him for a night in Salt Lake City. We were all hanging out in a hotel bar in 97, or it was 98. Jill went with me in 98 to the finals, and I was tired. And I said, you guys go ahead. We just ordered another drink. I wanted to go to bed. They closed the bar. They spent another half an hour, probably finished the drink, maybe had one more. It's just a joke.
Our wives at the time.
My wife at the time. Exactly, Will Perdue. So, it's misinterpreted sometimes. It was just a joke. But I think the joke has reached its expiration, so I'll refrain from it the next time we have Dan on or talk about Dan. What you got?
People wanted to know why we don't take more callers, and it is a fair question. It is a fair criticism. I think it is probably a criticism that is lobbied more by older Score fans, frankly, like fans from the McNeil and Boers days of the station. And I know B&B was a big caller show, even if they didn't necessarily treat the callers well, but that was the bit. It was, make fun of the 1% for the enjoyment of the 99%. Right. And that's actually what the research and the data indicated back then, was that about 1% of your audience was willing to pick up a phone and call. And so I'm talking about like 90s, early 2000s. That's what the data said about radio callers. Now, what's happened since the early 2000s? Text messaging, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, streaming, on demand. Like, the entire media landscape has changed. And so, frankly, the people who are creative, funny, hard-hitting, all of that stuff, they're less likely to be waiting on hold for whatever it is. Sometimes it's 5 minutes. Sometimes it's 30 seconds. Sometimes it's 55 minutes, depending on what's going on, if we have a guest, if people are holding through. And the quality of the call has gone down. Is part of the reason the quality of the call has gone down because they were berated for so many years for calling in? Yeah. Like, I'm sure that is part of the issue. But it's also because if you're smart and funny and employed and doing things, are you going to sit on hold for that long? Or are you going to tweet at McNeil_Parkins or text 670-11? And as a consumer, I personally don't love listening to 10 calls to find two pieces of gold, whether it's a great point or an awful point that it's so funny. I would rather, we have a couple thousand text messages per show, filter them out. Read the absurd, read the funny, read the smart point. Oh, I can't remember this actor's name. Texters, help us out with it. And then we filter it as opposed to working through the bad calls. Like, that's how I personally prefer to consume radio. And then people say, well, why do you bring up callers from Francesa or Grobstein? Well, we don't bring up all of them. Les takes 50 calls overnight.
Yeah, that's the beauty of it. Picking from the best of the bunch and finding something funny that we can laugh at.
Great show. Boy, you get some callers that are beyond, and your knowledge of the sports is fantastic.
So that's my philosophy. Some people disagree with it. Totally fine. Should there be more caller-driven segments? Totally fair observation, and we can work to bring some of those back. But it's that's why, in my opinion, there are less callers on this radio station in 2020. And if you listen to sports radio around the country, that's not unique to the Chicago market, and it's because it's the same thing. The quality of the call, the number of people willing to wait on hold in 2020 is way different than it was in 1998.
Yeah, you know, in the early 90s, it'd be hard for younger guys to believe this. We actually had a baker's dozen of score callers who were gold. You knew they were going to be good anytime you see their name go up on the computer or the index card in 1992 before we had computers, when the producers would write down on a Sharpie on a big yellow card, Joe is in Arlington Heights, Patio Steve is in Bolingbrook, there's Vandy in Oak Park.
We're not far from that now, guys.
Patio Steve.
Yeah, you know, that day passed. Every now and again, I get to missing it, and then I punch in a radio show, and they're taking calls, and I said, no, I'm good. I think I'm good keeping it the way it is now. We got time for one more here. It has to do with bits. Okay? Jawbreaker asking, would you guys ever bring back Who You Crappin'? And my answer is no, I'm not interested. I was desirous of launching Who You Crappin' when Terry and I were together, long before he and Dan partnered together, and I'm pretty sure they had similar feelings from time to time along their many years together.
Mac, it was once said about Who You Crappin' towards the latter days of that. Terry said about it, I just don't find it particularly entertaining.
Well, you know, and again, you're relying on the audience to provide the humor and the content, and that's why it's so high risk, Danny.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I used to love that segment, you know? But I also think that we do quite a bit of it in our own programming, like just speaking to hypocrisy, calling out media mistakes, analyzing broadcasts, all of that sort of stuff. Like, I think the essence of it is inherent in sports radio, and that's why when it was good, it was awesome. But I feel like it's just kind of morphed into the content of the shows and the stations. Often it's like, hey, that's Isaiah Thomas, you said this in the Last Dance documentary, but we have audio of you saying it was this reason on this film, and we have evidence of you saying it now here in The Ticket. So you got three different versions of the same explanation for you walked off. Who you crapping? Like, you don't need to do a whole segment on it and rely on emailers and callers to come up with it. Like, we just do it ourselves. Like, that speaking truth to power thing is kind of what we do here by Cracky.
Still a great T-shirt. And let me finish with this, because you said, what about your message board stuff tweaked my interest. That's why I chose Who You Crappin' for this part of the conversation, because you said in your post you'd like to do more bits. And you say different shows, different bits work. Some guys don't dig this. Some guys don't like that. And you described yourself as the straw that stirs the drink. And I would agree with that. I would not submit to you that that's a perfect world in the dynamic of a talk show, to have one of the hosts be the straw. But that doesn't mean it can't work. But I would ask you if you could do this for me as we do some self-scouting here. If you want to do more bits, I'm absolutely down for it. But, Danny, you got to be willing to receive ideas when I have them. And sometimes you don't always do that.
No problem. I try my best to do that. And if there are times when I don't, feel free to call me on it. I think the best – shows are like we, you know, we pitch something to each other and we all have to be on board with it. Like there were a lot of things that the Spiegel and Parkins show did that just didn't come over to this show. And that bummed me out. And that's the reality of it, just because like that show ended so abruptly. And when we had like finally hit our stride, but part of it was like, all right, like if I'm doing pick a player, I need multiple people on the show to be helping me get pick a players. And Spiegel was great at going up to athletes and going out to events and going on right. a press pass and picking it up. That's not something that you're doing a whole heck of a lot of at this right. point, which is right. So you know what I mean? Like that's not a shot. That's just a reality. Like, and so Bears voicemails. I really enjoyed it. Not something that people on this show were totally into. Totally fine. And so each show has to find its groove. And I think you and me, one of the things that has been when we're good, it's really good. And when it's awkward, we're talking past each other, like yesterday's segment about the aliens and Area 51. And you know what I mean? Like sometimes our references just don't land with each other.
Right.
You know,
it's called 25 years.
Yeah, it's 25 years. And so what I think has happened sometimes is why there have been way less on this show than on the show that I did with Spiegel was like our getting to know you. It was like we had to figure out how to talk to each other across a 25-year generational gap, you know?
Yep.
And so we're well past that now, but I think that's why there were way fewer of them at the beginning. And then the one that we kept, Can't Do It, we ruined because like Can't Do It was great with Spiegel because Spiegel was awkward about every question. Like you could just like hear him squirming and hemming and hawing. And they'd ask you a question and you'd be like, oh, what's the most recent thing in my Pornhub search? Let me pull it up for you. Like it's just, you know, so it's just a different dynamic. So you've got to figure out what works for each show and like awkward questions for Dan McNeil. Like there's no way there is no awkward question for
right,
Dan McNeil.
Right.
So you know what I mean? Like it's just we have to and we've gotten to a place and we're continuing to do it. But yeah, man, like I'm open to it. So let's go golfing with listeners and let's keep them coming. We have we got good questions still coming in. Text line 67011. We'll ask us anything, whatever you want. There's still some other good ones out there. It's McNeil and Parker's on the Score.
I can't do that.
I can't do it.
On 670 The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Can't do it.
Can't do it.
You can't do it.
On 670 The Score.
hanging out. Mac and Parkins on the Score. Ask us anything. Keep texting them in. Text line 67011 about us, about the show, about sports, about whatever you're interested in. Mac, anything that that you want to go to?
Yes, so many have come in since I had one picked out, so I am scrolling down. My apologies for the delay. Let me paraphrase, because I can't find the damn thing. A guy was asking me if Mully gets pissed at me when I make fun of his interviews with rambling questions. Yeah, the answer is yes, he does. Mully, and this was something Danny wrote about, not specifically about Mully, but about some guys at the station, that Mike doesn't handle the chiding very well. He just hasn't historically, and we've been told not to mention it. Every now and again, I can't help myself, and we play a soundbite that we don't mean to be mean-spirited, and I put my sound man, Chris Tannehill's ass on the line by asking him to cut stuff up, and he has trouble pulling the finger on it because we know what happens afterward. And somebody asked me on Twitter, what's Mitch Rosen's biggest fault or biggest flaw? And the answer is he wants to make everybody happy. That's my only complaint with Mitch. Sometimes people like me need to be told to put on your big boy pants and go play. So the answer is yes, he does get pissed at it. And I hope we someday arrive at a point where everybody can take a little good-natured chiding.
I like when Mitch tries to make me happy. He's great to the talent. I just, like, listen, on that was not even the only specific one. You know I feel this way, man. I've said this before on air. I said this in my first couple of months at the station when I brought Can't Do It Here, and it ruffled some feathers internally. We've told the story about me being told it's a rough clubhouse you're breaking into. Like, really? We're just a bunch of dudes talking sports. It shouldn't be that big of a deal.
I'm shaking my head again upon hearing that phrase.
Yeah. So like, I am a huge believer that if we can call for people's firing and critique their bullpen management and say that this guy should be sent to AAA and say that this coach sucks and say that whatever the case may be, which we can and we're encouraged to, and in many ways that's the job, it is totally hypocritical to then not do what we're doing now or whatever. Like, take feedback, take criticism, take introspection, take some ball busting. Like, I am a believer of that. Like, we're not celebrities like Chris Bryant, but I mean, we're public figures. Our names are on the show. Don't go after any civilians. Don't go after someone in sales. Don't do anything like that. But like, if you want to be like, yeah, that was silly, or that was a bad sports thought, and make fun of people, I think that that's part of what makes talk radio great, and that behind the scenes stuff. Oh man, those guys are just. There's no malice attached to it. It's not personal. No one's saying, like, oh, this person sucks. Or it's just, like, a little bit of making fun. Like, Grody's impression of me, Campy's impression of me, Bernstein's impression of me. It's funny. It's not the most flattering thing in the world, but it's funny. And so I have said it before. I joke about, like, the list of people who can take it. It's crazy to me, given that we just peddle in nonsense, and as you call it, the toy store, that everybody can't take it. That's totally ridiculous, and I wish that everybody could.
Yep. All right. I did basically two questions in one there, so why don't you dump your bag? What else you got? I've got several more, but I don't know how much time you want to do this.
Let's just do it the hour.
Okay.
Let's just take questions for the hour.
And I'll get to you musky questioners individually, personally here. No one on the air cares. I'm trying to get back to all of you who have fishing questions.
Oh man,
not for air.
let me address one thing one more time, because people are like, why did you guys stop airing the governor's press conferences? We debated it. Like, we got to the point in our pre-show meeting where we were joking about how often we were having a debate on airing the governor's press conferences, and it got to a point where I felt that it had stopped being about public health in a, like, you need to do this in order to save lives type of thing. and it had transformed into more of like a procedural and political thing where it's like, we have X number of PPE equipments in this county. And while that information, obviously hugely important, we were not mandated to stop airing it. It does not mean that, you know, times are normal. Obviously, we're all still broadcasting from home. There's still a stay-at-home order. We are passing along any information that does come across as public health. But it had gotten to the point where I thought that we were airing something that wasn't allowing for us to be the distraction and wasn't necessarily helping to the contribution of saving lives. Whereas we could then use our journalistic ability to say, hey, this piece of information you need to know, like when they did the stay-at-home order with the modified ramifications starting May 1st, we talked about it and we read off what those things were. So maybe it's the wrong call, maybe it's the right one, but after much debate, that's where we got to.
Yeah, okay, very good. I'm glad I saw some of the give and take on Twitter last night. Always,
well, you know, someone was saying that it was because like the news is finally starting to become positive. And I'm like, well, clearly you're not watching the news.
No,
like,
yeah, right.
Yesterday was the highest death total 24-hour period in Illinois. And like this idea that like I, because I've taken this thing seriously, like am enjoying this and want the stay-at-home order to last forever. Like, are you high? Like, I'm making less money. My family's making less money. I enjoy coming into a radio station and bothering Tanny and seeing your guys' faces and doing the show and commuting. Yes. And Tanny's happy. But, like, you know, it's just no one likes this. This sucks. But I'd like to, you know, be safe and have old people live and all that. So I'm taking it seriously.
I'm not happy to not see you guys. That's ridiculous.
Totally ridiculous.
It's like that. Was there a Twilight Zone episode where a guy wished he was the last man on Earth, and then he wound up being the last man on Earth? And
was that Henry Bemis, played by Burgess Meredith, the guy who loved reading?
Yeah, that was. Yeah, I think that was it. Then he broke his glasses, right?
Yes.
Well, I can report my glasses are broken here.
Oh,
folks.
No. Yes, Henry Bemis, a charter member in the Fraternity of Dreamers. Yes, he breaks his glasses at the end as he's sitting in front of the public library, and he loves reading, and his world is over because he can't read now. Wow. I think that's the one Twilight Zone episode I know. That's so bizarre that it came up today.
I was going to say, I have no idea what you're talking about, so I just sat out on that.
I like to keep it topical here, Twilight Zone.
Yeah, just super relevant.
All right, let me take one of the questions from Nas at ChicagoFanatics.com. There you go,
listen
Nas.
Listen to you with your free plugs.
Another one, yeah. Why don't you call it what it is? I won't address the pay cut I'm going to wind up taking, but I'll, yeah, it's 1997 all over again. The strangest thing you've ever done for drugs. Only one thing illegal. You know, when you're a producer in your 20s and you're making in the 20s and you have to pay to park your car downtown every day, wrestling tickets can come in very handy if your guy likes wrestling. And I had a hookup out at Rosemont Horizon at the time for all of the Hulk Hogan shows and the Bushwhackers and my guy, the late Hulk, whose funeral I attended last summer, loved wrestling, so I would exchange that. But only broke the law for it once, and that was a night of crime as a high school junior when we busted into the back of a Jewel to steal pop bottles. We filled a station wagon full of pop bottles, which gets you a dime apiece, and drove all over town to a couple of 7-Elevens, White Hen pantries to exchange, because you can't take a whole carload into one. And wound up getting about $46 for a night of crime. We went and bought a half a bag of herb for $20 or $17.50, and then went out for pizza and decided after pizza, hey, let's continue this night of crime. Let's eat and run. So,
wow.
So we did. That was the only time I ever broke the law for weed.
I've never dined and ditched. I've never done it. You think about it.
You do it every time you go to Chipotle.
That's not dining and ditching.
You steal pop.
It's
because
lemonade.
You disagree with the markup.
I do.
I
fundamentally
disagree with the markup too. I still have to pay for it.
I don't care. I fundamentally disagree with the markup on fountain drinks. They mark up the guac. I pay for that. I pay for the burrito. I get a water cup, and occasionally I put in lemonade. That is accurate. Am I proud of it? No. Do I make too much money to keep doing that? Yes. Will I stop? Doubtful. Bottom of the hour brought to you by Northwestern Athletics. The Wildcats would like to thank all of those working throughout the COVID-19 pandemic, including healthcare professionals. Thank you for helping to keep us safe. And this segment brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Step it up. One more segment of questions before Kendall Gill tells us some stories coming up on The Score. All right, a few more questions here. Mac and Parkins on The Score. Another thing from that thread, Mac, was they keep coming to me in text line 67011. Are you worried that the business is over? Like, the people say radio is dying. No. Just like, is it changing? Yes. Is it different? Yes. Is it at a bad time right now? Absolutely. But millions and millions of people still listen to the medium. Six figures still listen weekly to this station. Sports radio will thrive and continue to exist in Chicago when sports comes back. So, tough time right now, but I know people want to grave dance on the station if you hate it. And I always think it's weird when people celebrate that type of news that we've undertaken in the last couple of weeks. But I can guarantee you that live sports talk radio in a sports-crazed city like Chicago will exist a month from now, 6 months from now, 6 years from now, 16 years from now. It will exist. It will continue.
The Chicago Sun-Times has been closing since I started working with Kopic in February of 1988. That has been a common thought forever, and our business is incredibly injured right now from a lot of things. Things well before the pandemic, podcasts, Sirius XM. There are a lot of things people can do to get their information. But there always, especially in a big town, will be a need for live and local. That always will be the case. That's never going to change. So, yeah, I always tell kids when they, young men, when they ask me, hey, and there was a guy last night, I think on Twitter, am I nuts at 31 to want me to do this? Well, pack a parachute, have plan B, and don't.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, do not take. Hell, I might even say that to guys who are in the business every now and again, huh?
Well, it's funny you bring that up, Mac, because a texter says, all right, Parkins, you just said what you said, so the question now is, what does McNeil do that just makes you upset and wish you would just stop doing it?
I'm glad you found the 309 texter. Good.
Well, so, there's a couple of things. No.
Of course there are. We spend 20 hours a week with each other.
That's the thing, right? And that's exactly it. Like, Mac and I think there is genuine love for each other on a lot of levels, but we are obviously very different and at very different points in our career. And as someone who is driven and trying to reach the levels of success that Mac has had, it is sometimes frustrating, by his own admission, that like the fastball isn't the same. He's not throwing 120 pitches at 100 miles an hour every 5 days anymore, and that's understandable, and I will get there too eventually, but I'm not there now, so that push and pull is frustrating. And so sometimes when it manifests itself in disinterest of a topic or doing the show or I don't want to do the commute today or whatever the case may be, it's like, man, I'm trying to – this is my shot. This is my first time in drive time in my home city. Like, this is my big shot. It has to work. And it's been working. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. But, like, that frustration, I think – if you describe yourself as on the 16th hole of your radio career, and I'm closer to like the fifth, right? Like, we'll just always be at different levels of whatever it is, motivation, interest, willingness to fully engage on the recent Jim Boylan report, you know? And like, my guess is like that frustration. If you do this for 18 more months or 8 more years, like my guess is that frustration will be there the entire time.
Yeah, I understand that.
So like that. So
I get
like,
it.
So stop doing. Like, you know, I don't know if that's something like stop doing because I can't change who he is. But like, what is my biggest frustration with the creative process of the show? It's that. It's just that we're at different places.
Here's what you can count on from me. If basketball is local, I'm in. If it's the Bulls, I am committed to it, whether it's Jim Boylan or Doug Collins, if it's local. I flag completely on the NBA. You know that. I've never pretended to be anything but indifferent about the NBA outside of Chicago. If it's Bulls related, I am absolutely ready to tear it up with you on the topics. Don't have your knowledge, don't have your passion for it, don't want them. But certainly a willingness exists. When topics are more national, I flag. I am a PTFB-er in my head, as you are on a lot of hockey topics.
Yeah, and the basketball thing is just an example. We've talked about it before, of just the desire to do 20 hours a week of live radio. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's a grind. And
yeah,
you've been grinding at it a lot longer than I have, and you've got more pelts on the wall than I do. So there's something to, not like resting on your laurels, but like, it's, you're Dan McNeil. You've had a lot of really successful shows in this city for a long ass time. And
Rick Dalton, damn it.
Exactly. So that difference is just going to be there. Like, period. And so that's a frustration. And frankly, it works the other way. I might grip the wheel too tight or want to plan something too much, and that drives Mac insane. And I want to, like, hey, okay, it's been 3 days since we talked about airing the governor's press conference. Let's reevaluate if that's the right way to spend that 15 minutes. Like, that drives him insane, you know? So that, it goes both ways. But if people are asking for me to point out a creative frustration with you, that would be one.
Okay, good. I'm glad you found that one. I thought this online edition of Can't Do It or Ask Us Anything was just delightful. I liked it. I really did.
I agree. Yeah, I'm always up for it, man. And like, I thought for a while that a suggestion box type segment would work, like where we just like read texts, emails, whatever, and like, hey, this is a criticism of this interview or this question or this topic or this segment or this tag. Like, I'm all for feedback. And people are like, oh, why don't you guys do more events? We want to do remotes. I've bought listeners beers at every sporting event in this city. Like, I want to do more stuff. I want to get out there as much as possible. Obviously, right now, none of that's allowed. But we're not a finished product. This isn't a perfect show. It's not a perfect station. We are as open to any of your constructive criticism as you want. If you want to come in and say, this is the best show ever, or you guys effing suck, like, we're probably not going to react too strongly to either one of those emotions, but I'm always open to constructive criticism. So text it in, tweet it, and I'm happy to engage in it either online or over a beer sometime if you see me out once we're allowed to be out again. One thing that I've loved during these quarantine times has been score stories. I want it to continue when the games resume, because we don't have to just be all sports news all the time. I think these people have lived incredible lives, and having them tell us stories is an awesome thing. Kendall Gill has seen some things. He had a great story about Dennis Rodman in a strip club in New York on the Bulls Talk podcast at NBC Sports Chicago. NBC Sports Chicago has an incredible event tonight at 7 o'clock that you should be tuned in for. But Kendall Gill is going to join us to talk about that and tell some stories next on The Score.
Kendall Gill? Wow!
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.